this is a data tip. And that was that thing that I was doing where I was hovering over a variable, and you'll notice this drop down that that comes up. So this could be, this is a really quick way of identifying what the value of a particular variable is while you're debugging your code. So let's see, hover over something that's done. So like if I hovered over neutral books, for instance, it's filled up, I can expand it out and see everything that's being stored in that list. And the pin here represents a data tip that I decided to pin. Because one of the annoyances that comes with data tips is once you hover off of it, it'll disappear. So if you want to keep it around for a bit longer, then you can hover over, get the data tip, and then pin it. And you can drag it wherever. And this data tip will exist for as long as you decide to keep it there. So if you chose to quit out, to exit your debugging session, it'll still be there. And it'll only disappear when you choose to delete it.
Okay. All right. And then I really dig that you can just mouse over whatever it is, and then it will just pop up and allow you mm-hmm. to start digging into different parts of it. Are there any cool things that you can do? Because I know like you showed off that ability to pin a property, so that way I can see that. Are there any other like cool things that I can do with that? Or is it really more about being able to go in and just like see values and inspect it?
Really, that's more of an inspection tool, and it's supposed to make inspection quicker. But there are some things that you can use alongside those pins. So we have multiple pins here. One of the things you can do is if you wanted to show the property names, for instance, then you can choose to display those or not. And also my personal favorite is if you only care about like whichever properties that you pinned, you don't care about this long list of properties, then you can just filter out all of the properties that aren't pinned. So this can save you some time too if you're just interested in inspecting a particular property or two. And personally, I like to use this alongside the search tool in my Locals Autos and Watch Windows. All these are great inspection tools for examining your variables. And one of the quirks that comes with searching for variables in your Windows like this is that we basically had to create a stopping point for how deep is this search going to navigate in order to find whatever keyword you're looking for. Because otherwise, depending on what crazy variable you created or what crazy tree you created, it could go on forever. We don't want that. So that's why we have this search depth stopper here. And with search depth, you're kind of trading up a larger depth for performance over performance. So if you make it higher, it's going to search more thoroughly, but at the cost of, it's going to take a longer time to find results. But if you, and then the opposite is obviously the case too. So usually you can set your search depth lower when you filter your properties out like this, because there's less things for Visual Studio to search, which I know we're all about performance. So if you want to save some performance time and you like to search through your variables, definitely consider pinning properties that you care about and searching for them that way. So
okay.
The author, something like that.
Is it just searching property and like variable names, or can I also search values when I'm doing that?
Yeah, you can search for values as well. Let me think of a book that was in here. Again, this is the beauty of pin properties. I can just like look at this. All right, so let's say I'm looking for invisible.
Ah.
So, there you go. Mm-hmm. And also, it'll give me the results that are in the expanded version as well. The search depth is within range.
Okay.
So yeah, it can search for values. It can search for type, I believe, too. So I said string. Oh, I said sting. not the singer. So yeah, you can search for type, value, and name.
That's cool. I dig that. Okay. Now, you also highlighted the watch window and the autos window. What do those do?
Yep. So these are all very similar. So we have the easiest one to explain is the locals window. I think the locals window will give you all of the variables that are within the scope of where you are currently at. So I've hit this breakpoint that's at the end of this function, so it's giving me the relevant, some of the relevant variables that are at that given point. We have the watch window, which lets you type in whatever specific variables that you want to look at. So maybe the locals window might be too busy for you, depending on how much you have going on in your program. So I said I wanted to see neutral books. Neutral books. There we go. And I could get similar results that way. And again, I can inspect my variables the same way in all three of these windows, but the watch window lets me choose which variables I care about the most. And then autos window is honestly really hard to describe. I think it's really just an instance of an inspection window that will take the variables that are within the last three and the first three lines of where your execution pointer is at that given point of time. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm guessing based on that, you don't find yourself using the autos window all that frequently.
I don't personally. Yeah. I usually use locals a lot and I use watch. And what's cool about the watch window, especially other than just being able to pick what, is getting displayed specifically, is that you can use these things called format specifiers, which let you get a little more nuance in how one of these variables is going to get displayed in the watch window. So for instance, let's say I want to get neutral books, whatever the first book in there is. Oh, it's not going to get up. Well, let's see. Let's pick... trying to pick a good example. You know what? I'm blanking on a good example.
No, that's fine. No worries. No worries. That's fine.
Okay. But yeah, format specifiers, they're really cool. There's actually an example up here. It's just not in range right now, but note there's this comma NQ thing, and NQ stands for no quotes in this case. So if I had a string variable where I didn't want to see the quotation marks around it for whatever reason, I could just use comma no quotes and then it would show the value without the quotation marks. And other things, you could have like an int value and maybe you want to display it as a hex number and not as a decimal number, then you can use comma h, so little things like that. And the beauty about it is you can use comma. So if you're not familiar with those format specifiers, which again, these are not very discoverable at first glance, then you can do comma and it'll give you a list of different ones that you can use. So there's decimal integer, there's the hexadecimal integer, no quotes, as I mentioned. Yeah, lots of different ones. And they change and vary depending on the language that you're using. So if you're writing something in C++, then the different format specifiers you get will be unique to C++ and stuff like that.